Courtney Allen was a kindergarten teacher in 2014. And in 2021, she was fired because she wouldn't take the vaccine or test weekly. Or maybe it was because she was exposing the agenda that her young children were being exposed to in her school. Courtney joins me today to talk about her story. And unfortunately, her story is not unique. Sadly, this is happening to great teachers all around the United States who are tired of the brainwashing that's happening in our school system, and they're trying to expose it to parents and other students. Courtney joins me today to talk about her story. This is the Heidi St. John podcast. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. Courtney, welcome to the Heidi St. John podcast. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure to join you and your audience tonight.
Well, I'm really glad that you stuck with it, because we've had a heck of a hard time getting your video and audio to work. So now you've been relegated to your phone. So thanks for sticking in there with me. I want to get right to this because I don't think that your story is unique. I met you because of my new book, Through Brave, and you had me on your podcast to talk about why I started working with Brave and my passion really for seeing children flourish. I think that is the heart of any decent human being, is to see children be innocent, children be able to enjoy a good childhood and to grow into adulthood healthy and whole. It's a whole lot easier to raise a healthy child than fix a broken adult. Would you agree?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't have even said it better myself.
You have a passion for teaching children. Tell my audience a little bit about yourself and how you got into teaching.
Yeah, sure. So growing up, we moved a lot. But, you know, one thing that kind of made everything okay were the teachers that were always so welcoming. And, you know, being new, no matter where I went, was scary. I wasn't friends with, you know, all the popular kids or didn't know anybody, but the teachers seemed to make it better. So that started like my want for teaching. I graduated from the University of Cincinnati with a degree in early childhood education, and then was hired a couple years after as a private pre-K and kindergarten teacher. I absolutely loved my job. I loved all of the children that I had in my classroom. You know, everything was going great. I couldn't have asked for a better job, just being around all these kids all the time and watching them in their aha moments, watching them grasp something was like, it just gave me pure joy and made my heart so happy. After COVID happened, we were shut down for 4 months. We opened back up slowly. And I remember, walking in to work one day and we had curriculum folders that were handed to us. And then that's whenever I got the surprise of my life, whenever I opened up that curriculum folder to see what was being pushed as part of the diversity, equity, and inclusion curriculum for the month of June.
And these are, I just want to be really clear so that my audience understands. We're talking about 5-year-olds here, right? We're not talking about junior high students, you know, not that it would be appropriate in junior high either, but we're not talking about kids who have maybe even been exposed to any kind of sexual ideology or sexual identities or gender or any of that other stuff, right? These are little ones.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was pre-K and kindergarten. So 4 to 6 being generous, 4 to 6 years old. But they did have curriculum, that was implemented with what they said age appropriate for our toddler classrooms and our preschoolers.
So what would that look like? So walk me through that. So age appropriate sexual indoctrination for a 3-year-old, what does that look like?
Right. It's kind of even ironic to put any of those words together in the same sentence and then call it age appropriate. Yeah. Because right, these children, right, they can't even tie their shoe, and you want to talk to them about what it means to be transgender or bisexual. Like, that's mm-hmm. absurd to me. One of the activities that they had in those classrooms was to color a flag pride flag to hang outside your door to let your community know that you are an ally with the LGBT community.
Wow. To a three-year-old.
Right.
So here you go. Color this flag. It's so interesting. You know, the more I understand about this radical sexual ideology, the angrier it makes me. I was listening to Candace Owens talking about Sigmund Freud the other day, and she was letting everybody know, hey, in case you all didn't know this, Sigmund Freud's best friend was a pedophile. I mean, these are people that believe that children are sexual from birth and that children should have sexual freedom and sexual rights from birth. And you saw this, right? This agenda being pushed to the little ones in your school. And how did that, you know, as a teacher who wants to protect the innocence of kids, how did that make you feel? What was your, were you just like, shoot, you know, what am I going to do? Did you feel like I need to fight this? I need to expose it. What was your reaction?
You know, at first I was kind of in disbelief because not only is it the curriculum, but it's like you said, the pushed agenda on it. And, you know, my first thought as a teacher, I'm supposed to teach children how to think, not what to think. And especially not, you know, I'm not supposed to talk about something this controversial with somebody else's child.
No kidding.
And the kicker is none of the parents knew. They forgot to send out the newsletter that month.
That's convenient.
Right. They received a lot of backlash after the curriculum was starting to be exposed, but I was the only one in my entire building location that stood up against that. And that kind of, it made me really sad that like maybe these teachers aren't in it for the right reasons or they don't understand the importance of their job, but of the 12 grown adults that were there being the only one to stand up against it. You know, I kind of felt isolated that nobody wanted to stand with me and fight against it.
Now, why do you think that is? So I guess I have a hard time understanding why on the one level, and on the other hand, I can see these teachers also came out of this broken woke system that's teaching them that they have to talk about this stuff with little kids. Are you getting, were the other teachers like, no, we think it's fine. We learned how to, you know, this is part of, or do you think they were afraid?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. I think that they didn't want to step on the feet of superiors. They didn't want to like be in the way of whatever flowing smoothly. They didn't want to, you know, put their name out there.
Right.
You know, kind of squaring up against what they were being told to do, which that might be okay with some people, but I'm not going to do something because somebody tells me to do it if it's completely wrong and goes against my morals and values. Mm-hmm. And I had emailed our district manager and told her all of that. And she came in, we had a meeting one-on-one, and that's whenever she told me that they've received a lot of backlash. But by that time, I had already been on a couple other shows exposing the curriculum, traveled around Ohio, you know, saying this is what's going on, not only in public schools, but in daycares. Like, you can't trust your children with the people that, you know, you leave them with every day. That's really scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is really scary. And the National Educators Association absolutely has its fingers in the preschool business. So people are like, oh, they don't care. You know, they only work in the public schools. No, they're working in privately owned preschools. Yes. And a lot of these privately owned kindergartens that we see, you know, these standalone kindergartens that I see all over. I mean, they're all over the place out here in the Pacific Northwest. And your point was, these are not safe places for children. Parents are not being told what their children are being taught, right?
Right. And, you know, if that's just like the very top of it. If they're not telling you about diversity, equity, and inclusion curriculum that they teach, you know, 1 month, like what else are they not telling you? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I had a guest on my show a couple of weeks ago, and it's Katie Faust, and she said something to me that just absolutely rocked my world. Like, I knew this stuff intrinsically, but to hear it that way really helped put things into mind. She said that she could name almost every single social and judicial issue that's before our courts right now, and they are all aimed at injuring children. abortion obviously injures a mother too, but it's aimed at killing a child, right? So abortion is injuring and killing children. The fentanyl crisis injuring and killing our children. Transgenderism injuring and killing our children. The LGBTQ agendas injuring and killing our children. DEI injuring our children. The fact that we're having children sex trafficked at the southern border. Also, so the border issue is a child issue. These are child issues, and you're at the front lines of this. How hard was it for you at that point then to continue in your line of work? Or were you just like, once they fired you, when they came to you and they said, okay, Courtney, I'm assuming they didn't have any trouble with your teaching. They just didn't like your politics.
Right. And I was one of the few that had an actual, you know, education background and degree, you know, qualified to teach all of these others. And I think it goes back on like what you had said before, they had just come out of high school or, you know, a few years out. So they're kind of already in that mindset. But, you know, once you go through, and I'm sure it's different now, the college level training now has probably incorporated this in their curriculum, you know, for adults by now. But at first, I was really angry.
I bet.
And I wanted to quit. I talked to my husband and my father-in-law, who's a pastor. Like, you know, this is my my calling. I love teaching. This is what I love to do. But I can't and I won't teach this. But then, you know, on the other hand, I thought, if I leave, then whoever they get to replace me is going to come in and teach it and not do anything. So I was kind of fighting with myself, you know, not doing it. But if I'm the only one standing up against it and I leave, then who's going to be the voice and who's going to stand up, you know, for all of the kids to come?
Yeah. It's a very huge and heavy burden right now that teachers across the country and around the world, frankly, are being asked to carry, because there is so much intimidation. I talk to teachers all the time. I'm out on the road, you know, interviewing and talking to educators, and I'm hearing all kinds of stories. You know, I have a friend of mine who's a teacher, and she said that they're not allowed to discipline the children anymore. And so one disruptive child can ruin an entire classroom experience for the entire day. And sometimes, you know, weeks at a time. She said, our hands are just tied. And then we have to make these decisions. Do we leave the schools? And then we've got, now there are no decent teachers left in the schools that won't push this, you know, broken, sick agenda. Or do we try to go someplace where we can help? You really ended up not having a choice, right? Because they fired you.
Right. They did. You know, eventually, whenever they started the weekly testing mandates for companies with over 100 employees, then they made a testing
Weekly COVID testing.
Correct. Yes. They made weekly testing mandatory for unvaccinated teachers. So I was the only unvaccinated person in my building.
Seems like these things go together. It's weird, right?
Yes. Right.
It's weird, right? You know, you don't want to injure children, not in favor of the LGBTQ agenda, would never tell a child who was a boy that he was a girl. And you're likely not to get the vaccine. And you're very likely then, obviously, not to be boosted. These things went hand in hand. It feels like discrimination to me.
Oh, yeah. Workplace discrimination. That was one of the topics of an email that I sent to the head of our company, you know, back and forth. And it ended up getting me nowhere. They did fire me for not testing weekly, or that's what they said. I think, like you said in the beginning, it kind of had to do with more of the curriculum that I was sharing with parents who had no idea what was going on behind closed doors. But after they fired me, that school stayed open for about 8 weeks afterwards, and then they had to close.
Wow. Wow. And did parents contact you after that? Were the parents like, hey, where are you going? Or did that happen?
Yeah, actually. First, they were really upset that they would fire me because of the testing or, you know, medical choices. And then they asked if I was homeschooling because I had mentioned that, you know, whenever we had first shut down, that I would do just homeschooling. I have the K-12 curriculum from Hillsdale. You know, I'm very much qualified to do so.
Hillsdale, let's go.
Yeah, I love Hillsdale. But yeah, I got messages from a lot of the different parents. And whenever I told them, you know, that's why they were angry. I had a few of them send, you know, emails to my director, my district manager, you know, our HR person. But, you know, I feel like I stood up for what was right. So I'm okay with them being, you know, they fired me. I'm okay with that because God had a bigger plan. And now I get to do, you know, the Patriot Pre-K and bring actual age-appropriate curriculum and provide, you know, the kids and the listeners with stories that are filled with, you know, morals and values that I could stand by and that I would support or that I would read my own kids. So it's okay.
Yeah, I love that. Tell us a little bit about what you did, because the reason that you're my off the bench segment today and my podcast, of course, Off the Bench with Heidi St. John. I love hearing about people who don't give up. And they look around and they go, okay, there's a problem here and a problem here. We can all articulate the problem, but there's not a lot of people who articulate a solution. You not only found a problem, you found a solution. Tell us a little bit about what you did.
So I created a platform. It's called Patriot Pre-K. It's still in the works, but, you know, gaining momentum on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Instagram, just having different platforms that parents can reference that, you know, they can go and look for a fun activity or a fun story. And on the Facebook pages, I put in the developmental standards that are met with each activity. So, you know, your kid, yeah, they might be building, you know, whatever with Legos or with different materials, but they're learning like one-to-one correlation. They're learning vocabulary, like all of these different standards are met. So I kind of share that with parents, you know, just to provide something that is a little bit extra, that's not woke at all. I'll never do anything woke. You know, we say the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of every class. We end in a prayer. You know, just something that I would like my kids to have had at a young age if I had found out, you know, an LGB curriculum was being pushed in their classroom.
Where do you see, and we've got just a couple of minutes left in this segment, but where do you see this fight going in terms of education? Do you think it's salvageable or do you think, no, we're going to have to start making alternative lanes for education?
I think that as long as parents keep their kids in the public schools, that's what's happening. But I also have read statistics where there are more homeschooled students today than there have been in the past. So parents are taking it into their own hands and pulling their kids out of these indoctrination camps and, you know, providing an at-home education and curriculum with life skills and, you know, things that aren't what the system wants to be, you know, integrated on our children.
Yeah. And I so appreciate what you're doing. If people wanted to find out what you're doing and support you, where would they go?
Well, I have my own podcast. It's called Patriot Strong. It's on iHeartRadio, Spotify, BitChute, and Rumble, or you can find Patriot Pre-K on YouTube or on Facebook. It's just Patriot Pre-K with Miss Courtney.
I love it. I love it. Courtney Allen, it's just such a delight to have you here. And I wish the best for you. I'm just, every time I hear, and honestly, I mean, I get a lot of stories into the podcast now, just people who are like, I'm doing this, I'm running for school board or city council, or I've started my own homeschool, or I pulled my kids out. I am encouraged because it tells me that people are waking up to what's going on around them and they are not afraid anymore to take their children out of these schools. So thanks for what you're doing and keep me posted. Let's talk again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. Everybody, you know, my closing words, General Flynn always says local action makes a national impact. And if you want to see a change, it has to start with you. So if there's not anything like this in your community, be the one to start it. Be that bold to use your voice for positivity and it'll get you far.
I love it. Courtney Allen, thank you for coming on the show today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome back to the show. I've got a question today from Cindy in Missouri. And it was heartbreaking to me. I get these questions, similar questions quite a bit at the show, but I want to read it to you. She says, "Dear Heidi, I've been listening to you for about 2 years and have even got some friends listening in on your podcast now." Thank you, Cindy. I appreciate that. "I recently had something happen that's been heavy on my heart and my mind. My nephew came out as homosexual years ago, and on Christmas Day 2023, got engaged to a same-sex partner. My family, who have always been good Christian and God-fearing people, celebrated this engagement with open arms and joy. I was taken back by their reaction. With the wedding coming up late summer, it's mostly all they talk about at family events. I prayed heavily about this and even went to my pastor asking if I should participate in the wedding. My pastor told me that even though I may not agree with it, showing love to my nephew is the right thing to do and that going wouldn't be wrong in God's eyes. After praying and asking for answers, I recently had a calming over my heavy heart, and now I see the joy in my nephew and his partner that they have for one another and the joy and togetherness that this wedding is bringing to my family. Am I wrong to feel this way? Is my family wrong for celebrating this, and how can I talk to them without offending them?" So first of all, Cindy, thank you for writing in. These are difficult questions, and they require compassion. They require courage. They also require that we come at them from a position of truth. And as I'm listening to your story and hearing your heart, I can tell you right now that the fact that you love your family and you love your nephew is evident, and it's honorable. And that's what God would have you do, because we are called to love. We are called to be the hands and feet of Christ in a world that desperately needs to see that they are loved. We are called to be people that tell the truth. We are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And we want to come at these situations from a position of compassion, right? Because every human being is made in the image of God, and God loves every human being. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life," right? So we know that God's heart is for people. Having said that, the thing that I want to focus on from your question is simply this. Your family says that they're Christians. The family of this young man who is living in a homosexual relationship and now declaring that he's going to marry a man is also saying that he is living in a Christian family. And this is where I am the most grieved by what I'm hearing from you. I want to read from Ephesians 5 for just a moment. It says, "You are God's children whom he loves," which we just talked about this, right? "So try to be like him. Live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice to God. But there must be no sexual sin among you or any kind of evil or greed. Those are not right for God's holy people. There must be no evil talk among you, and you must not speak foolishly or tell evil jokes. These are not right for you. Instead, you should be giving thanks to God. You can be sure of this. No one will have a place in the kingdom of God who sins sexually or does evil things or is greedy. Anyone who is greedy is serving a false god. Don't let anyone fool you by telling you things that are not true, because these things will bring God's anger on those who do not obey him. So have nothing to do with them. In the past, you were full of darkness, but now you are full of light in the Lord. So live as children that belong to the light. Light brings every kind of goodness, right living, and truth. Try to learn what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the things done in darkness, which are not worth anything, but show that they are wrong. It is shameful to even talk about what these people do in secret, but the light makes all things easy to see, and everything that is made easy to see can become light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from death, and Christ will shine on you.'" So there are several ways, obviously, that we can approach this, but the main thing is to acknowledge one thing is true. Homosexuality is not just a sin before the Lord. God calls it an abomination. All throughout Scripture, And you could say, well, that's only in the Old Testament. No, it's also in the New Testament. It's also in the book of Romans. It's also in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter, starting in verse 9, says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, or the greedy, or drunkards, or revilers, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. As such were some of you. But you are washed and sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord and in the Spirit of God. Romans 1, 26 and 27, for this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations with those who are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. I could go on and on. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. I know this is painful. And so I'm not here to say, wow, you know, obviously this is what you should do. I believe that you are struggling mostly because of love, right? You love your nephew and you love your family. And these things are good. But to enter into a celebration of what God says surely will bring suffering and surely will bring with the death. I mean, you say, but the wedding is drawing your family together. And I want to remind you that Satan came to Eve in the Garden of Eden as an angel of light. He came to her. She wasn't afraid, right? Satan disguised himself as an angel of light. He has twisted so much of what's happened in the culture today. And of course, you know, we want to say, well, we love each other. And so this is where the lie comes in, right? Love is love. And a beautiful lie is still a lie. And what's happening with your nephew, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I hope you'll hear my heart. I think it is a devastating thing to go and support someone. Would you go watch your nephew shoot up heroin just because it made him happy? If he said to you, I'm in a really committed polyamorous relationship and these three other people are making me really happy and we're all going to get married, would you go? Where do you draw the line? And I guess I would encourage you to draw the line where God draws it. It doesn't mean that you have to be ugly. It doesn't mean that you have to be unkind. But going and supporting someone in something that God says is wrong, particularly when these people claim to know Jesus, it must be a heartbreak for the Lord to watch his children say, well, I love my family more than you. I want my nephew to be happy more than I want him to be holy. At the end of the day, the Bible says that there's a way that leads to life and the road is narrow and few people find it. And we have to stand for what is right. And it's not hard to figure out how God feels about homosexuality. He calls it a sin in his word several times. This is not ambiguous. This is not up for debate. God is very clear about it. And I also want to be clear. There are lots and lots of things that Christians do that dishonor the Lord. So we're not saying that there are Christians that are not sinning. And that's not what I'm trying to say. What I am trying to say is, I sure hope we don't start celebrating those things anytime soon. And that's what a wedding inherently is. And speaking of weddings, I will remind you what you already know. God defined marriage as between one man and one woman. And no matter what Obergefell says or any other Supreme Court decision, no matter what the woke progressive church will try to shove down your throat, this is not marriage in the sight of God. It is a sinful relationship that should never, ever be called marriage. And so I would just encourage you. I know your heart is breaking, and frankly, my heart hurts for you, Cindy, because these are terrible things. But just because there are lots of sinful situations that bring a temporary joy to people, all you got to do is think about the guy who has an affair. The first time he sleeps with that woman who's not his wife, do you think that he didn't enjoy that? No, he enjoyed it or he wouldn't have done it. There are lots of things that we do. The nature of sin often is that it drags us into something that for a moment feels good. But when it lives out its life, it ends up being anything but good. And this is wrong. And so if it were me, I would be telling my nephew, I love you. I cannot support you doing something that God says ultimately will hurt you. And this will hurt you. This is wrong before the Lord. It's wrong. It's wrong to enter into a marriage that God says isn't marriage at all. And it's based on sin. And so I cannot celebrate something that God says is sin. And so I know this is hard for you to hear, honey, and I am sorry. And my heart hurts for you. I get letters like this all the time and the pain is palpable. But God loves your nephew. And my prayer is that your nephew sees how loved he is, that he was made in the image of Creator God, and that God has designed him with a plan and a purpose. And that was not to live inside the boundaries of what God says brings with it suffering. And so that's what I would encourage you to do. And I actually think in your heart, after reading your letter, I think that you know what God wants you to do. And I would just encourage you, get alone with the Lord and ask him to give you the courage to do what honors God, not what you think will make your family happy. At the end of the day, that's what this will become about. All right, that's all that I've got time for today. Stick around. We're going to come back for a happy hour, and I'm going to answer a few more listener questions. We appreciate you guys writing in. You can reach out to me, HeidiStJohn.com/mailbox Monday. We love hearing from you, love answering your questions and hearing your show ideas and your guest ideas. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for leaving reviews for the show. That really does help us, and also leaving reviews for the books that I have written. I want to invite you, join me at the Faith That Speaks community. I will be going through 4 women in the Bible who lived less than stellar lives, but who I think we could actually learn quite a bit from. So that study is called Gifts Gone Wrong, Bad Girls from the Bible. And we're going to be looking at the gifts that God gave them and seeing how they could have stewarded those just a little bit better. We love you guys. Thank you for listening to the Heidi St. John podcast. And I will see you right back here again at the intersection of faith and culture.